What's up? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and I've never been more excited to finally have an interview go down. So right now, from 98 Rock in Sacramento, is Abe Cannon. What's up, Abe?
What's up, Ryan? How you doing?
Good, man. I think this is National Murphy's Law Day. So I was recording at a kava bar, and I was so comfortable, and I was high, and I'm on shrooms right now, and it was so great. And then all of a sudden, I had an interview with Roy Wood Jr., the comedian, and it went great. And then there's this thing called Mix Minus for people that don't work in radio, and I had it on Mix Minus, so it wasn't echoing. And all of a sudden, I think there's something wrong with my board, Abe, because you said it was there was an echo. So then I'm now recording at my job. That's how dedicated I am to this interview. This is how much I wanted to interview you.
Hang on. You missed a step. Not only are you at your job, but you're in the second studio at your job.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to suppress that. I'm in another room where we have a notoriously quiet microphone, and you couldn't hear me. But honestly, the radio gods, even though I don't believe in that, there's something out there that made this happen, Abe. I'm so happy to talk to you, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, dude, I've been listening to your show on 98 Rock. I've been a fan of you going back to when you were on Howard 101. I remember when I first heard you on Howard 101, I was used to hearing, like, Jay Thomas replays and Stern. And I remember, man, because I was a fan of you when you worked with Man Cow, and then you were on Howard 101. It's been a long journey, bro.
Yeah, so I started with Man Cow in 2001. I was interning at Q101, doing, like, commercial production, like as an intern, and then I started interning for Man Cow. I ended up working with Man Cow. He hired me like within, I don't know, I interned about a year, and then I worked with him for like 5 years, and then I went to Miami. I was on the Paul and Young Ron show on Big 105.9, and then from there Sludge and I did a show in Richmond, Virginia, and then after that they got rid of all, so it was Cox Radio, and they got rid of all their morning shows, and they put Bubba the Love Sponge on mornings on all their rock stations.
That,
so I lost
out.
My job because of that. Yeah, so I started doing a podcast in my bedroom, and I'm like, who would I want to do this podcast with? So I had my friends Ryan Mano and Bass, and then I always thought my brother Sam was hilarious, and he'd be funny on the radio. So the four of us started doing a podcast, and based on that podcast, they picked us up on the Howard Stern channel. Tim Sabian, I would send him like every few months, I would send him like a little demo of the show. And he's like, you know, there's something here. And then when Bubba left the Stern channels to go to terrestrial radio, that's what opened up that slot for me on Sirius. So it's kind of funny. I lost my job because of Bubba, and then I was able to get that job at Sirius because of Bubba. And it's crazy because, you know, Tim had Baba Booey. He had Howard listening to our demo tapes and stuff. So it was crazy that he put us on the air based on and this is a podcast back in like, what was that, like 2009 or something that I was doing in my bedroom. So, you know, this is before podcasting was really popular. And, you know, he kind of put us on, you know, an unknown show. We were doing the show from Chicago, and we were on the Howard Stern channels after like doing a podcast for a year, which was crazy.
So how did you get the job at 98 Rock in Sacramento?
So I was doing mornings on Rock 95.5 in Chicago with Angie. I loved doing that show. I loved that station. I loved working with her. I loved everyone there. Just my contract was up, and we just couldn't come to terms on a contract. So I actually turned down their contract offer. And when I turned it down, I had a few different people reach out to me like immediately as soon as I said I was available. And this dude, do you know who Pike is?
Yes.
So Pike, I worked with at The Loop. And he sends me a message. And he's like, hey, they're looking for an afternoon show at 98 Rock. He's like, I told Aaron Roberts, the program director, he's like, I told him he should hire you. You're the guy that should do it. And it's that crazy. Like, then I started talking to Aaron, and then that's what led to it. But it's like, I didn't have this job lined up. I had nothing lined up. Like, when I left, I had nothing planned. I mean, as soon as I left, I had a lot of options because a lot of people reached out to me. But it's not like I had something planned when I left. So it's because my friend Pike, like, just put this dude, I'm sure, didn't really know me. Pike put in a good word for me, and then we started talking, and that's what led to it.
How has the transition been to working in Sacramento? Because you've worked in Miami, you've been worldwide with Howard 101, and then you did various shows in Chicago. What's the difference about Sacramento?
Well, I was in Chicago pretty much my whole career, except for like 2 years. So, I'm from Chicago. I'm born in Chicago. So, I've pretty much been in Chicago the entire time. It's different leaving Chicago because my family's there, my girlfriend's there. So, you know, it's a big adjustment, but it's been good so far. I mean, the thing about it is I go back to Chicago every 3 to 4 weeks. So it's kind of like I haven't left.
How weird is it having your girlfriend in Chicago?
It's weird, but she works in TV. Like, she's a set decorator and a buyer. Like, she's working on that show, The Bear, right now.
Yeah.
She's done all 3 seasons of that. And, when she works on a TV show, she works like 60 hours a week or more. So I don't see her that much anyway when she's actually working on a show. So I would only see her on the weekend. So it's only been like a couple weekends here and there that I haven't seen her that I would normally see her. So I go there, like I said, every 3 or 4 weeks, and then she's coming here actually next week. And like, when she's not on a show, she'll be able to come out here more. So I think it's going to work out fine. But I'm definitely, I definitely go to Chicago a lot.
There's a lot of haters of Chicago, a lot of people out there that talk bad about Chicago. What do you think about it in 2024?
I think they don't know. Like, I lived in the West Loop. And I know there's crime and stuff there, but I mean, I would walk around all the time. My brother lives in the West Loop. We actually lived in the same building. We both had condos in the same building. And he has he just had a son who's like 8 months old. And they're always walking around there with a stroller. And I mean, I think it gets a bad rap. I worked on 233 North Michigan when I was at the last station. I'd walk around there all the time. I never had any issues. I think people think it's like anything else. It's like, if you stay out of certain neighborhoods, you're probably fine, but there's definitely people getting carjacked and stuff like that. But I mean, I've never seen it. Like I said, I walked around the West Loop all the time. By my work on Michigan Avenue, I'd walk around there. I'd go for walks like after work a lot of the time. I never had any issues. I think Chicago gets a bad rap. I think Chicago is still the best city, and there's so much to do there. I mean, are you always like when I go to the Aragon or something and I'm walking back to my car, am I like feeling like really safe? No, but when I was 16 going to the Aragon, taking the red line and walking to the Aragon, when I was walking back to the red line, I didn't feel safe either. So it's like, I don't think much has changed. I think it's just with social media and you know, everyone talking on Facebook and stuff, everything seems worse. But for the most part, and I understand there's definitely carjackings and crimes and stuff, but I think it's not as bad as people say it is. And I think people use that as a way to, talk smack about other things.
Yeah, I noticed that people will make it very political. Like, whenever someone talks crap about Chicago, then it just becomes, even though I don't like the mayor, it becomes, oh, the mayor sucks. So it feels like it's like a way to begin talking crap about whatever side of the party you're on.
You know what? And that's what people do in general. And that's one thing I do on my show is I don't talk any politics, no matter what. If they bring it up on either side, I just shut it down. I'm like, I don't talk politics on this show because people who are obsessed with politics, like you just said, they figure out a way to talk politics no matter what they're talking about.
Of course.
No matter what it is. We could be talking about Metallica, and they'll figure out a way to talk about what. And that goes for both sides, too. They both do it. They'll talk shit about Biden. They'll talk shit about Trump. Whatever it is, they figure out a way to work in their politics. I'm like, dude, I don't care about your politics. And I think when you start doing a radio show and you completely cut that out, like, I don't talk about anything. I didn't even talk about the elections or anything. And it's like, once you cut that out, you make people realize, like, hey, you know what? Maybe there's other things to talk about. And you're just giving, it's like, I'm listening to the radio because I want to have fun. I want to laugh. I want to be entertained. I don't want to be angry. Because if you're telling me your political opinion, you're obviously trying to downgrade the other sides, right? So half the people listening are pissed off. And then the people who agree with you anyway, it's like, who cares? They agree with you anyway. So you're not picking up any new listeners. You're angering half the audience. It's like, that's not good radio to me. I think it's boring. It's antiquated. And I really hope more shows just completely cut that out.
Well, it's weird too. My mom growing up listened to Ro Khan in the afternoon, and I would hear him when my mom was picking me up from school, and I liked when it was Ro and Gary. And I'll listen to some of the old shows online, and even then when they were political, there was more of a, they were like in the middle. I think it was around when Trump got elected, this everything just got so divided. My uncle will be like, I don't know, he does this thing. He'll come to Florida and he'll go up to people and say, would you say you're a Trumper? Because Trump's big in Florida. And it's so embarrassing, Abe. He'll be like, are you a Trumper? And I'm like, bro, like.
Is he pro-Trump or anti-Trump?
Oh, he's the most anti-Trump person ever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, just keep your politics to yourself. And if you want to talk politics, you have your friends that want to just be angry all the time. Just go talk to them. But don't spew your nonsense to other people. It's just, I can't deal with it. And I think it's before Trump, too. Like, this has been going on for a while, and it gets worse and worse. And the older people get, the more they fall into it. Like, the younger people, I feel like you're living your life and stuff. There's some people who are just sitting there watching either Fox News or CNN, and they just get angry. And that's their life. And it's like, go find something else. Figure out some kind of light at the end of your tunnel. That even if you hate your job, you hate what's going on, figure something out. Like, do you want to learn how to play piano or something? There has to be something. Go play basketball or something. There has to be something that you enjoy doing that'll take your mind off these politics, because all it does is make people angry.
Yeah, and I notice whenever I get mad about things, Abe, with anything in life, my performance at whatever I'm doing is not as good. Like, I was having like meditation just now when I was trying to figure out everything going on with you. Like, I literally put on a meditation in the car when I drove across the bridge, and then when the fucking room wasn't working, I was doing meditation there. It's one of those things, bro, that it's like, when you're calm, things work out. Like, if I would have started freaking out, we probably would not have been able to do this interview. But it's like, you got to be calm. And I noticed the most angry people are the ones that are political.
Oh, yeah. And even if they don't start out that way, it makes them angrier. Because it's the whole point of politics is to divide people. And it just makes you angry. And they want to keep people fighting. They want to keep, you know, people dumb and fighting about stupid shit, because, you know, there's the rich people on top. They're on both sides. They're just laughing at everyone arguing. They don't care about anything. They just want to make more money. So as long as they can keep everyone in the middle fighting and, you know, using them for their votes, they're happy. And then the people in the middle, they never make it. They never get to the next level because they're stuck at a certain income. They're so polluted with politics, they don't even, like, consider that there's other things they could do in life to improve their lives. And, yeah, staying calm is very important. Like, people get angry and angry and angrier, and it gets worse.
So I've been doing this self-reflection lately. I don't know if it's, like, a midlife crisis, even though I'm 30, but, like, my uncle just died. And I've been really reflecting on things because he was like my second father, essentially. And I've realized that my whole 20s, it's not that I'm not happy with where I'm at in radio, but I noticed that the best radio comes from when there's adversity, or it comes from when you're not focused on it all day. And I feel like in my mid-20s, bro, that was all I cared about. And now I'm trying to be more, I don't want to say close to the earth and sound like a Florida hippie, but I'm trying to I'm trying to live more because I feel like working at the Bone and working for Rover and all these shows, I feel like I was so focused on radio. Like, I remember even when I first emailed you when I was 17, I was like, I want to be the next shock jock. And you said to me, don't ever use that word. I think you said that in an email.
Yeah.
I never forget about that.
Well, I mean, I remember you emailing me a long time ago, and I was pretty honest with you about everything. Like, I gave you, like, actual real feedback. And I think it's hard to find real feedback.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was watching Dr. Dre on Jimmy Kimmel with Snoop Dogg, 50 Cent, and they were talking about how Dr. Dre actually gives them real feedback. It's like, they're like, we don't even want to hear it sometimes because it's so real. But if you want to get better, you need to find someone that you could trust that could give you real feedback. Because if you ask, like, your mom or, like, someone who's your friend or someone who doesn't care to help you, they're just going to tell you you're awesome.
Oh, yeah. My mom's my biggest fan. It's scary.
Of course. She should be, you know, but you're not going to her for feedback.
Yeah.
All moms think they're – like, there's mothers who have sons that are the biggest pieces of shit ever, and they figure out a way to make an excuse for them. Like these kids are shit. Like, they're committing crimes.
Yeah.
They're assholes. And it's like, oh, you know, and then they have a reason to – you know, say that they're great. And that's just how it is. Like, if you have a kid, I mean, I don't have any kids, so I don't know what that feels like, but I understand that people, you know, they think their kid is the greatest, but you have to find someone that's willing to give you real feedback if you want to get better at anything.
You want to hear something crazy? I love telling people this when the topic of kids comes up on Happy Hour. Do you want to hear the craziest thing?
Yeah.
I got a vasectomy at 28.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't want kids.
No, I know, but, like, why would you? Why don't you just, like, you know, they make condoms and stuff like that.
Condoms aren't fun, bro. Condoms are not great.
Wait, but you could reverse the vasectomy.
Yeah,
right?
I have 4 years left to reverse it because I did it in 2022, and it said you have about 7 years, so I'll probably get it reversed at 34, but I don't even. I just. It doesn't.
Why would you get it reversed? Why would you reverse it if you don't want kids?
That's what I'm saying is, like, unless, I don't know, I just don't see myself being a dad. Because, like, I went through a pregnancy scare in 2017, and I was, like, that was when I was diehard about radio. Like, I'm still diehard about radio, but I was, like, diehard about radio. And I just thought my life was over with. And then my last ex, she had COVID, but her period was late because of COVID 2 years ago, and she thought she was pregnant. And you got to remember, I always pull out, or I would wear condoms, or they'd be on the pill. So it was like, I'm so traumatized that I'm like, I just don't want to be a dad.
Yeah. So when you get a vasectomy, how is everything the same pretty much? Or
yeah, it's weird though, because like I love telling this story. When I got the vasectomy, they were playing with my balls, and I was all numbed up on like pain meds, and I was also pretty high because you're gonna have to do that. And we're talking about our favorite Madden video games. We're like, oh, yeah, the one with Michael, like, while they're playing with my balls, they're like, yeah, the one with Michael Vick on the cover was good, and the one with Vince Young is good. It was bizarre.
Do you remember the original Madden when the ambulance would come on and would hit all the players?
Yeah, it's pretty real, bro. It's scary.
I'm like, the Sega Genesis, an ambulance would come out when the player would get injured on the field.
Yeah.
And it would smash into all the players. Like, it never made any sense.
You know what's crazy? I was thinking about it when it comes to video games. Like, Super Mario 64 in the 90s and 2000s, that looked so real. And now I have a Nintendo Switch, and I'll play it occasionally, and I'm like, this looks old.
Yeah. Well, yeah, graphics have come so far. If you look back on those old, like, WrestleMania arcade games and stuff, and even Mortal Kombat, like, the graphics seemed ridiculous back then, but I'm sure now it's, like, it's shitty.
What got you into wrestling?
My earliest memory is me waking up when I was, like, 2 or 3, and Hulk Hogan was, he got splashed by King Kong Bundy, and when they took him to the hospital, that's, like, my earliest memory of being a kid. Like, I remember, my mom, I don't know if my mom had it on, but that's like the first thing I remember is watching, I think it was Saturday Night's Main Event and King Kong Bundy breaking Hulk Hogan's ribs. So I feel like I've been watching it my whole life.
And then the thing is, you ended up getting to meet all these wrestlers working with Man Cow and then doing your own show. So that had to be pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I met so many wrestlers. And then on my Howard 101 show, we had tons of wrestlers on. Like, we had Paul Heyman even called in. We had wrestlers in studio. Like, I've met most of the, you know, pretty much most of the old school wrestlers at this point.
Did you ever meet, rest in peace to Iron Sheik?
I'm trying to think if he came into Q. No, I don't think I ever met him.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, no, he was awesome on the Stern show. He was hilarious. That, like, rejuvenated his whole career, if you remember. Like, he wasn't doing anything. And then he started doing those appearances on Stern. And, I mean, can you imagine how much money he would make right now on Cameo?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I would pay for that.
Yeah. I know a girl who actually paid the Iron Sheik to, like, come out to, like, a bachelor party. And he took, I don't know what the fee was, but it was like a few thousand dollars. And they paid to have Iron Sheik basically hang out with them for a bachelor party.
Dude, that would be the wildest bachelor party ever.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Do you ever pay for anything like that, of anything ever?
I was just telling someone that the other day. I'm like, man, it's really, since I've been in radio since I was 19. And I would say from the age of 14 to 19, I went to so many concerts that I would pay for. Like, every weekend I was at the Metro, the Vic, the Riv, the Aragon. And then from 19, and now I'm 42, so like the last 23 years, I probably paid for maybe less than 10 concerts, I would say. And look, because, you know, when you work at radio stations, you get free tickets all the time. So I probably paid for less than 10 concerts, and I've been to some, like, 100, you know? So, yeah, it's hard to pay for stuff these days.
Well, it's funny. You know how, like, healthcare is the best when you don't make any money? Like, Obamacare is amazing when you don't make money, but then, like, when you make money, they have to take it out of your paycheck. The same thing seems to go with concert tickets. Like, when I was making no money at the Bone, I would get any concert ticket I want. But now that I produce, like, buttoned up conservative radio all day, I literally have to pay for the tickets. Or I'll have an old connect at the Bone. But it's funny, like, when you get the free tickets, you have something that is not available to most people. Because a lot of times those are scraps from a contest for an actual show. And I feel like radio people take that for granted. I definitely did.
Oh, all the time. And you don't appreciate it either. It's like, you don't realize how expensive tickets are, like Lollapalooza or something. It's like, we're not used to paying the ridiculous, like, the few times I've bought tickets, like, I paid to see Kiss on their supposed last show in Chicago. That was in 2019. And then I saw them again in Chicago after COVID. And then I actually went to that final show in New York. But those tickets, Angie from Rock 95.5, she got me those tickets for free for Madison Square Garden. But the one in 2019 I paid for, it was like $150 for a ticket. I'm like, this is a lot of money for a ticket. And people are paying like $300 for tickets. So, yeah, we really take it for granted. And it's like, half the time, it's like you're not even as big of a fan as some of these people that, you know, you would like for them to get the free tickets sometimes. And you're just getting a free ticket. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll go. Yeah.
And then I didn't appreciate the moment, but in 2015, I saw Van Halen, and I got to see Eddie Van Halen and David Lee Roth. And I was on my phone the whole time as a 21-year-old, and I didn't appreciate the moment. I'm like, ah, whatever.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've tried. Unless I'm doing stuff for work, like, I'll make videos for, like, you know, the station's social media pages. But, like, I definitely try not to record. It's like, when you record all that shit, it's like, are you ever going to watch it again?
No, no.
It's such bad quality. It's like, just be in the moment at that concert. I actually saw Van Halen. I saw the Sammy Hagar Van Halen when I was, like, 13. And then I saw the David Lee Roth the first show, Sludge and I, we drove to Charlotte. We saw the very first reunion show with David Lee Roth and Van Halen. That was like 2009, I think, or 8. It was awesome.
What is it like working with Sludge?
It was great. Like I when I worked at Q101, I was working with Mancow. Sludge was on afternoons. And him and I was just like, I was super young. I was 19 to like, 24, I was working there. So like I was 19, 20, 21, 22. And I would always go into Sludge's studio and talk to him. And he would always like, he was just great. He was just a great like mentor. Him and Ned Spindle were like two of my biggest early mentors. Ned Spindle, if you don't know, is the greatest imaging guy in radio history. He's awesome. And so those two guys I would talk to all the time. And then I worked with Sludge. We did that show. It was awesome, that show. We dressed up like dogs at the Michael Vick trial in Virginia. And we were on like they put us on the cover of the Red Eye in Chicago, actually. Remember the Red Eye, the newspaper?
Yeah. Whatever happened to that?
I don't know if that's still around or what, but I mean, we were on everything. We're in the ESPN 30 for 30 that they did on the Michael Vick trial.
Yeah.
So like that show was awesome that Sludge and I were doing. But then again, that went away because Cox put Bubba on all their stations.
And that worked out well, right?
Yeah, that didn't actually.
That was sarcasm.
No, I know.
Dude, working in Tampa radio is hilarious. Like my co-host and producer for Happy Hour, because I do two versions. I do the talk show version and I do these interviews. He describes Bubba, Cowhead, all these guys and all the listeners with the perfect word to describe Florida radio. You ready?
Yeah.
Mutants.
Well, you have to look at it. Whatever they're doing, it's like Bubba. Like somehow he was super successful. So anyone that's super successful, they're doing something right. Like no matter what it is, no matter what your opinion is on them, it's like they have an audience somehow. So I don't know. Is Bubba even on right now?
He's on a brokered AM
in Tampa,
but he does better online on like YouTube and Twitch.
I wonder how much money he makes doing that, because he has that studio and all that stuff. It's like, you wonder how they're able to like finance that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Did you ever have a chance to work in Tampa radio? I feel like you would have thrived here. I'm not saying it's not going to happen in the future, but I feel like you would kick ass here.
No, I was actually on 98 Rock in Tampa, but I when I was on Rock 95.5,
yeah,
I was the late night host on like every rock station for iHeart. But that I just tracked that, so like it was like a voice track thing. So that I don't really count that because it like took me like 20 minutes a week or something. So, but yeah, I was on that station. Like people would text me like, "Hey, are you on 98 Rock in Tampa?" I'm like, "Yeah, I guess."
I think you replaced Kid Chris. He was doing like voice tracking for a minute of his show.
Oh, was he? I don't know. But Kid Chris actually worked on Rock 95.5 for like a few weeks too. He did weekends on our station.
Did he really?
Because I remember he emailed me. He's like, "Hey, I'm," because he knew me from Howard Stern, and he emailed me once. But then he was gone. He only did it for a few weeks, so I don't know what happened with that. But he does mornings in Cincinnati for iHeart, I think.
Yeah, I think I interviewed him 5 years ago, and I think he pretty much said that like it was a lot of work for it didn't feel like it was worth it, and I don't think he was making any money off of it because they were repurposing his morning show and airing like 2 or 3 minutes at night. But I think it was too much work.
Yeah, I'm all for live radio. I think I know it's easier to voice track, but I think anyone, like my show on 98 Rock right now, my afternoon show, is 100% live. I don't even. And it's funny, I told the program director the other day, I'm like, I don't even know how to voice track here yet. I've never done it. Like, I'm live the whole time. And I think that's the future. If you want, everyone says, like, oh, young people don't listen to radio. Well, number one, that's not true. But if you want to develop young talent, you have to put them on the air and let them be live and let them go crazy. Like, even you're 30 now. I'm talking about, like, 22-year-olds. But you're still really young, right?
Yeah.
So even someone like you or someone even 10 years younger than you, give them the overnight shift and just don't swear. Don't do anything, you know, that'll get the station in trouble, but just go for it. Do whatever you think you would do on a morning show. And these are the people that you are developing to be your next morning and afternoon shows, right? So that's what I've always said. I'm like, I wish we could get back to having like a minor league system where stations are developing these young guys and girls to eventually take over morning and afternoon shows. And just, you have to let them be live though, because if they're voice tracking, like I know a lot of people who have been in radio a long time and they've never been live, which is crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's like there's a big difference in being live. I don't care if I make a mistake being live, you know? It's like the worst thing to me is a voice cracked call. Like when they cut it so much and it sounds like shit. It's like, oh, is that extra 3 seconds going to make that big of a deal? Just talk to someone and you have to know in your head when to cut them off. I mean, that's a skill in itself.
Go on.
No, go ahead.
I try not to talk crap about shows, and I'm not going to say the name of it, but it airs in Chicago and it's voice tracked, and the guy makes good money. He's in a lot of cities. His name is Greg, but my God, dude, that chopped up fake radio is awful. That voice tracked, you know, where it just sounds fake. It's like people know it's fake.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just too, people cut up calls just too much. I'm all for being live. I think everyone should be live. It's a different thing. It's just better, you know?
Now, the morning show at 98 Rock was let go. Is there ever any talks about you doing mornings?
No, they actually said that they found that afternoons is more important than mornings at this point.
Yeah, because Sacramento radio in the afternoon, my friend Stroke used to do afternoons there, and that's Sacramento really cares about their afternoon radio. Some markets don't, but it seems like Sac Town does.
Yeah, and I know that in afternoons in general, in a lot of places, they have more people listening than in mornings. And it makes sense if you think about it because, you know, for mornings, all the people who drove to work for the morning
or they're working from home. Like they're not, you know, leaving the house.
Exactly. So all those people then, you know, after they're done working from home or whatever, now they're getting in their cars and running errands and doing whatever else they do. And then you have people working third shift. They're all in their cars. So it makes sense that there'd be more people listening when everyone's awake than, you know, people are sleeping from, a lot of people are asleep between, you know, 5 a.m. and 8 a.m. So it does make sense. And no, I'm staying in afternoon. So
Abe, it was hilarious. I'm not going to say what company it is, but they love radio. But they, it's funny. They had a end of year meeting in 2022 going into 2023. And this is when people were working from home. And they essentially told the sales team that they needed to go into the office because they didn't know what shows were on. And that it was important to listen to the shows in the car. It was hilarious.
Well, you know what? It is. I think it is important for, I think salespeople should listen to the shows. Like,
of course.
You have to know. You have to know what you're selling. Like if I'm selling some kind of product and I don't know what, like if it's some kind of spray and I don't know what the fuck it does, how could I sell it? So that's the first thing I would do is listen to all the shows, like all the time.
What are some shows you listen to now? I listen to you. I listen to Woody. I listen to old Opie and Anthony. And I'll listen to Stern from time to time. But it's kind of depressing now because he's old.
Yeah, I listen to Stern. I still listen to him. I think he's still hilarious.
Yeah, he is.
Him when he talks, just whatever he talks about, like in his personal life and stuff, he's still really funny. I think Ronnie's really funny on that show.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I listen to the Jim Cornette podcast all the time. That's a wrestling podcast.
Surprise.
Like, yeah, exactly. For radio, I mean, I stream 98 Rock, which is my station a lot if I'm at home or if I'm driving. When I'm driving, that's all I listen to is my station, 98 Rock. And then I listen to K-Rock in Los Angeles a lot on the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
I think that station sounds awesome. Like, the music, like, I'm usually listening at night where it's just music, but I love the K-Rock imaging. It just, that reminds me, like I used to listen to Loveline all the time on Q101.
Yeah.
And, you know, Loveline started, the home station was K-Rock. And it just, I always loved K-Rock. And now K-Rock sounds awesome again because they brought back Kevin Weatherly. He's running it again, and it sounds great.
Yeah, and I interviewed him in, I interviewed Kevin Kline about 3 months ago, and I'm a big fan of what he does. I think he's pretty funny.
Yeah, I haven't heard him that much.
It's good.
I usually only listen at night, so it's like there's no DJ on when I'm listening.
What I like about Kevin is that he doesn't do any fake segments. He's just kind of like, he reminds me a little bit of like a millennial Stern in a way.
You know what's funny? I do a segment on my show called The Fake Caller of the Day, where I tell the listener, have you heard that by chance?
I have not.
Okay, so I tell the listeners, I'm like, hey, you know, most radio shows have fake callers. So I said, I want you to be the fake callers. Then basically, I said, I had one where a girl was having sex with a ghost, right? So, like, okay, I need someone to play the role of the girl having sex with a ghost. And then I need someone else to call in. And we set it up before the commercial. And I'm like, I guarantee people are going to think it's, even though I make it sound as ridiculous as possible.
Yeah.
People are still texting me like, are you doing a bit? They're like, this sounds fake. I'm like, yeah, because it is, moron. Like, it just, it's funny because I'm setting it up. Basically, you know, radio shows, a lot of, not all of them, but a lot of them have those fake callers.
Ugh.
And I'm basically doing on air what they do off air, like setting up the scene. I'm having the listeners play the roles, and it's really stupid. And like, I do it like a couple times a week. I think it's funny.
I got in trouble when I worked for a company that had a morning show in Tampa that was doing that, because I said on air that if I didn't say their show was fake, but I said that it was fake, and they're like, "Don't get him mad at you." I'm like, if you're gonna do fake radio, like, you're putting yourself out there to be critiqued.
But you said it when you worked there?
Yeah.
You probably shouldn't do that, though.
I said it on my podcast. I said shows do it. I didn't say their show did it, but they were not.
Oh, gotcha.
They were not happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you don't want to... I don't like the whole mentality of... It seems like a lot of people who... It's either you work in radio and then you don't work in radio for a while, and then people talk shit about radio. It's like, I don't want to, like, I never talk smack about anyone, you know,
I've
worked with or anything, because it does no benefit for you. Now, could you make fun of that stuff? Yeah, fine. But I mean, if you're currently working there, it's probably not a good idea, just because you know they're going to hear about it.
Oh yeah, they heard about it. I don't have any regrets, but 30-year-old me would not have done that. But 29-year-old me was a son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all make mistakes when we're younger. You know, you just have to learn from them. I mean, I've done stupid things, too, that I regret. And then you just learn from it, and it makes you better, actually.
I honestly love that I did something like that, because then it's like, I don't want to... The word bad boy is so annoying. But it's like, I like just being honest. I think it's a blessing and a curse. It comes from ADHD. I love to talk, Abe. And sometimes, for example, like, I'm kind of dating this girl right now. I don't really know what we are, but we're hooking up and sleeping over and doing that. And her dad knows everything about me because he listened to Kelta, and he still does. So he knows everything about me because I said everything on air for 7 years. And I'm like, oh, that, I forgot I did that.
Were you actually on the air on that show?
Yeah, I was the backup board op, and then I did a lot of boxing matches and events. So yeah, I was pretty prominent. They will say I wasn't, but I was.
So you would be on, like, whenever you were board oping, then you would chime in on stuff.
And they would check in on like how my dating life was or anything like. And I was always, and when I worked with Rover, I did the same thing. I always wanted to be honest and real, but I said a little too much.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I guess there's always that. There's certain things you probably shouldn't say.
Well, I was talking about like I remember when I worked at Rover, I was breaking down my sex life, like play for play, because he wanted it.
Yeah.
And my mom was listening. She knows everything about my sex life. It's frightening.
Yeah, it's weird because I feel like a lot of radio hosts, they get older and then they don't really do much, right? They just go home, they sleep. So they need guys like you on the show to like add some spice, right? Because you're out there doing, you know, interesting things.
Yeah.
So that's why those shows do that. So that's why I think, like, no matter what, however old you are, you have to continue to live some kind of a life so you have something to talk about.
And I know you just said that, like, what I said about the fake prank calls was, like, not the best choice and whatever, but I'm going to use my big mouth again because I don't particularly care. But a lot of times the older shock jocks that, like, use the younger people for content because they'll say anything, a lot of times they have a lot of skeletons that they're hiding. So they really can't talk about what they did over the weekend because they might have hooked up with another woman or whatnot. So they go with like the whipping boy because the whipping boy is more prone to say things that are truthful.
Well, that's not just the shock jocks. That's like regular DJs too, like top 40. Like you'll see all kinds of people that hide. I mean, I feel like the most buttoned up people are hiding the most stuff half the time.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You've seen that happen too, right?
Morning show boot camp. I saw a lot of married men in 2013 hitting up Dennis Hoff, and I don't think it was about interviews.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Dennis. It's funny. Dennis Hoff,
legend,
was so prominent on rock radio for so many years. Now he's dead, of course, but.
Wasn't it funny? Didn't he win the election or he got a lot of votes after he was dead because he was running for some position?
Yeah. something in whatever county he was in. Like, I forgot what the... Yeah. He won, but he was dead.
So yeah.
I don't know how that worked.
That's the most 2010 thing ever. All the shock jock shows like 15, 20 years ago would like give their like whipping boy or the like whack packer a day to the... Bunny Ranch. That's like the most 15 years ago humor ever.
Yeah, I remember when Eric the actor from Stern went there. That was pretty funny.
It's funny, as a radio geek, I can hear when people copy other shows, and it's funny. A lot of the second tier shows over the years, I'll be like, oh, they sound like this show or they sound like this show. It's funny when you're really deep into radio that you can hear like a lot of shows I've worked with that are from New York City, there's a lot of Don Imus in them because all their moms and dads listen. If they're Gen X,
oh yeah,
there's a lot of Don Imus in people. They're ripping into the other members of your team because Stern rips into people, but in some ways it's ball busting and it's funny. But I like listening to old Don Imus on YouTube because I find him fascinating. But my God, bro, he was cruel to people. And I'll hear a lot of shows from New York or comedians that grew up with their parents listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
Don Imus is pretty prominent in a lot of Gen X radio.
Yeah, I mean, everyone, though, is inspired by someone, right? Like, I started out listening to Mancow and listening to Stern, which is crazy that I worked on Mancow's show for 5 years. Well, more than 5 years. I worked on Mancow's show 5 years and then 3 years again at The Loop. So I worked with Mancow like 8 years. I was on Stern's channel three years, and I was on his show a couple times, and you know, it's crazy. But those are the two guys that inspired me the most when I was coming up in radio, were Mancow and Stern, because that's who I listened to. So there's things that I do today that Mancow 100% inspired. Like, I play a lot of music on my show all the time. And that's directly from learning from Mancow. Like, me running the show, like, everyone tells me I, like, run a great board and stuff, like, the way everything's so, like, clean and, like, so many elements going on at the same time. That's directly from Mancow.
Or, you know? When I was listening to you, when you did your sports report, I felt like Al Roker was there.
Yeah, I mean, him and Roker and I do the Slob Show podcast, though. And, yeah, I mean, there's a million things. And Roker from the Mancow show. Yeah, Roker. There's a lot of things I've he's inspired me. Yeah, for sure. And Stern inspires me probably the most, just in general, just talking the silliness, you know, that to me, that's a big deal. It's like the silliness, the way you talk, not caring, and like just how open he is about everything, like saying what you probably think you, like you just said, you say stuff that you probably shouldn't say. That I think that's a good thing to a point, right?
Yeah.
Like if you can't be worried about your mom listening.
Oh, I was the opposite. She knows how I lost my virginity. It's frightening.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Dude, it's funny. I grew up listening to Man Cow. He's one of him and Eddie and Jobo, and then Jonathan Brandmeier's second act at the Loop in the 2000s, and Drex were the shows that I grew up listening to. And a lot of people talk crap about Man Cow, but bro, that guy is a legend.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's why, you know, all those guys that have big shows like that, there's always going to be people who talk smack about them. And I don't get involved in any of that because I know that, number one, those are the guys who are giving young people opportunities. Now, the question is, what do you do with the opportunity? Do you get stuck in a box, or are you able to figure something out on your own? Like, but Mantel put me on the air when I was 19. You talk about prank phone calls. I've done 4,000 real prank phone calls. Like, all of mine were actually real.
They sounded real, bro.
Because they were. And, like, that's the difference. But, like, Mancow, like, I made these little bits and stuff. He would play them on his show, and then thousands of prank calls he would play. It's like, those are the kind of guys, like, all those other morning show guys, too. They're giving people opportunities to be on the radio. Especially back then, it was so hard to get your foot in the door. So, I mean, they give people opportunities. It's just what you do with the opportunity.
It's funny. Obviously, I didn't work for Rover long, but I will tell you, the one thing I learned was save it for the air. He wouldn't talk to anybody until he got onto the air, and I try to do that with my show and when I do interviews, is I believe you got to save it for the air.
Yeah, it depends. I don't think you have to do that, but yeah, that's one thing Mankow always did too. He's like, I'll share for the air.
What's your favorite? What was the craziest memory of being on Mankow's Morning Madhouse?
Craziest. I mean, his wedding was pretty awesome. Like, he had Greg Brady there. He had the Bishop, Don Magic Juan. Cowboy Ray was there. When Mankow got married, I was like, God. I don't know if I was 21 or something. And do you remember Cowboy Ray?
Rest in peace, yeah.
Yeah, so Cowboy Ray lived close to my house. So I actually picked up Cowboy Ray and his mom for the wedding, and they drove with me. And Cowboy Ray was, he was allergic to shellfish. And the minute he walked in, he ate a shitload of shrimp, and then he shit his pants. He shit his pants at the wedding. And so I didn't have to drive him home. Luckily, they put him in a cab, but I felt so bad for his mother because his mother was like the nicest lady ever. And she's like, oh, Raymond, you ruined everything, Raymond. Like, I felt bad for her, but like that wedding was crazy. It was, you know, it was like a big deal. And I was super young. It's like everything was new when you're young, right? Like Mark Cuban came to the Q101 when I was like 21. And it's when he first bought the Mavericks. And he's like, if you guys ever come down to Dallas, I'm going to give you guys courtside seats. So Mancow actually paid for us to fly to Dallas. And then Pantera owned a strip club called the Clubhouse. So Freak knew Vinnie Paul. So we flew to Dallas. We went to the Pantera strip club. Or no, first we went to the Dallas Mavericks game. We're sitting courtside. This is like when it was like Rip Hamilton and like all those guys. Like it was an awesome team. And then we went to the Pantera strip club, which was like crazy. And like, that was my first time on a plane, first time at a strip club. Like, it was just like all these crazy things that happened when I was like 20, 21. And it was just weird, right? Like, I'd never been on a plane before that.
Really? Did you never leave Illinois until then?
No, we would go on vacation to like Indiana Beach and stuff. Like, I never, we would drive to, like, I don't know, nowhere that far, like Wisconsin or something. So I never, we never went to like Disney World or anything like that.
My favorite trip would be Wisconsin Dells.
Oh yeah, we would go there. Yeah, Wisconsin Dells. That was the kind of trips we would go on when I was a kid.
That was the best. I used to love going to Noah's Ark.
Yeah, me too. Noah's Ark was the best.
So what do you got going on for your show this year?
Well, I mean, I just started, you know, just a couple months ago, and it's been, everyone's really happy with it. It's been going really good. I try to just have a fun show where I just, you know, don't take anything too serious, and it's just try to make people laugh. And, you know, just, I'm just trying to do a real show where it's live, talk to a lot of people, put a lot of people on the air, and, you know, I have some plans. Like, we want to do some like live broadcast stuff because we're like right by San Francisco. We're right by Reno, you know, close enough to Vegas and Los Angeles. So there's some stuff like that we want to do. But I'm just like getting started. So,
well, Abe, how can people find your show?
Just listen on the Odyssey app. Just search 98 Rock. I'm on 3 to 7 Pacific time, and then my website is just abecannon.com. I have links to everything there too.
Can you believe we've been talking for 51 minutes?
No, it's quick. It went by quick.
Well, Abe, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. I won't include you in it, but I overcame adversity with my $700 board acting up for some reason, and then the other room. But now I have a louder microphone. I'm going to know to not use that room. I'm kind of glad.
Yeah, now you know to go right into this room. This room sounds great.
Because one of the shows that we produce, we have to turn the mic all the way up for that. So I think there's something with that room.
Yeah, well, stick to the room you're in now. This one sounds good.
Well, Abe, thank you for coming on Happy Hour. It's been a lot of fun. And can you do me one favor?
Yeah.
Can you retweet this when I post it?
Yeah.
Abe, that means a lot because it drives me nuts when I have people on and then they don't retweet it. And I'm like, you're the one that has the big audience. It helps. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I'll retweet it.
Well, Abe, it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. You're definitely an OG in radio, and I've been a fan for a decade. So keep up the good work.
Thanks, man. Good luck to you, too, man.
All right.
Keep doing your thing.
Thank you, Abe.
All right. Later.
Happy Hour. Happy Hour. Like that, he's gone.